Hey everybody, before we start the show, I wanted to remind people of some shows coming up. So January 26th, that is this Thursday, I'm in Omaha, but listen, you can't get tickets, they're sold out, but I'm telling you that because next time in Omaha, you got to get those tickets super quickly because for some reason they like me there. I wasn't allowed to go to the club for several years for saying the C word, and now people buy all the tickets in case it happens again, I guess. They want to see my last appearance there or something, but Kansas City, I'll be there January 27th, 28th. That's this Friday, this Saturday. Then I'm going to be in Fargo. I'm going to be in Fargo, North Dakota,
Fargo.
at the Fargo Theater. The Fargo Theater, I'm going to be there February 4th.
Ooh.
Then Cincinnati, Ohio, at Go Bananas, February 10th and 11th. Si, why don't you tell them who's coming with me?
Me. It'll be me. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna open, and it's gonna end our relationship.
Yep, that honestly could be factual. Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'll be at Acme March 2nd through the 4th. San Francisco Punchline March 23rd through 25th. You can get all my dates on chaddaniels.com, or if it says on sale soon, you can go to the club's website and get the tickets because I'm in between some stuff right now and I need to figure out how to fix my website. It doesn't matter, the details aren't important. Just know that I'm trying and I would love to see you at a live show.
GoBananas.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page, click the daddy's face, buy tickets, and you can see both of us in what is as good as a farewell tour for our friendship.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Are you having a good morning? Are you enjoying my deep, just woke up voice? Because this is what you get today. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundsen.
It's better than what I got in the pre-show meeting. I logged in, and Justin was listening to, you know that song? I think the man's name is Jerry Mungo. Or something like
No.
that. The in the summertime when the
Oh,
sa-da-da-da. Or
yeah.
I actually think his name is Mungo Jerry. It doesn't matter. Justin was ripping that pretty early in the morning. That song's got a couple of fun parts to it. I'm a big fan of the if her daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Yikes, Mungo. If her daddy's rich, you better treat her right. If her daddy's poor, who gives a shit? You know, like I love really addressing how you date according to class. That's a big. I think also in that song, there's a have a drink, have a drive, da 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 da, do da do da. It's pretty wild. That's a wild song.
It's crazy. Yeah, if her daddy's rich, try to impress her and secure her for marriage. If her daddy's poor, no means yes. That's a very odd take, Mungo Jerry.
If she grew up in an upper class neighborhood, show her that you can keep her in that upper class neighborhood. Now, if she grew up in a lower class neighborhood, dump in her belly button and never call her again.
Fuck her in a dumpster. Okay.
Welcome.
Listen,
Welcome. Good
welcome
morning.
to the program. That was a rough start. I have to tell you something.
Sure, tell me.
So, Minnesota Vikings
Come
played, I don't
on.
know.
We're starting on this.
Well, listen, Minnesota Vikings played football, sort of. They had a football game in the wild card weekend of playoffs. So that
Correct.
this will be Monday. This did not happen just recently. It was a weekend ago. I was in Sacramento, and because it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day on that Monday, I was talked into a Sunday show, which normally I don't
You
do.
broke a Chad rule.
I broke a Chad rule to impress the people I work with, and it was tough because I like going home on Sunday.
Sure.
But the good news is there were three football games that Sunday, so I could just stay in and watch. Now, I stayed up late on Saturday, got up early because West Coast football is insane. How do you wake up at 10 a.m. to watch a football game?
Sure.
Especially when you stay up late. So I get up, I watch one football game. Now the Vikes are playing. Mm-hmm. I go down to the hotel lobby bar slash restaurant to get a burger because everywhere else is an Uber drive away from the hotel to eat. I'm in my room. I'm eating. I'm watching the game. There's a knock on my door. I go to the door. Now, the Future Farmers of America have had a convention all weekend in this hotel.
Come around downtown now, brother.
I will tell you this. I've also experienced that in the Bricktown location of Oklahoma City. And I think talked about it on the show. Completely different. The Future Farmers of America, the California division, all you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell that they were Future Farmers of America.
Okay.
Everyone in the Oklahoma version, you didn't even know they were future farmers. You thought they'd been farmers for 10 years. Right?
Yeah.
So the different respect level. I told the story about the kid on the bird scooter that came at me and they all laughed. And then I flinched towards him and he fell into the street. That was in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Here in California, people are holding elevator doors, whatever. Now, they're a little loud on the floor. So I think what's happening is the person knocking is a future farmer of America looking for another future farmer of America. It turns out it's a man in a suit and a man in a, like, I'm raiding this house because there's a drug dealer in there, police outfit.
Like the, hey,
he's got a vest.
Somebody might shoot me, so I got all the stuff on.
Yeah, he's got a vest. He's got the, and you know, the little pen pocket? Instead of a pen, it's bear spray for humans. Probably just mace.
Nope, bear spray for humans.
Bear spray for humans. And then he's got a gun. He's got a taser on the other hip. And I go, hey, how's it going? And then they go, hi there. We've had a noise complaint. And I go, oh. Are you sure it's this room? And he goes, not only have we had a noise complaint, we've had a domestic abuse complaint. And I was like, oh, well, it can't be this room because I'm the only one in here. And the police officer goes,
Did they call the police on you because you were yelling at your naked body in the mirror?
Yes. No. So the guy goes, even though that checks out.
We heard a man calling his wife a lazy fat whore. He was talking about her tits. We heard something. It has to have been this room.
Well, I had a shirt and a hoodie on, so they couldn't detect it.
Gotcha.
So he asks if he can come in and look around. He looks, he opens the shower curtain. He opens the closet doors. And I'm like, I'm telling you, no one has been in here. Besides me. And then the police officer looks at me and he goes, the exact phrase was, get on the ground, you fat bitch. And I was like, oh. I go, actually, the exact phrase was, get him on the ground, you fat fucking bitch. And he goes, what? And I go, can I go over there for a second? And I tilt the TV back towards the cops and I go, number 94 on the Minnesota Vikings has had his hands on every single person with the ball and has zero tackles today. So I yelled at him, get him on the ground, you fat fucking bitch. And now we're all laughing. We're all having a great time. Then I shut the door and there's another knock on the door and I open it and it is housekeeping. And I go, I'm okay today. I'm leaving tomorrow. I don't need anything. And she goes, I am so sorry. And I was like, what? And she goes, I'm the one that heard. And I go, oh, no. Listen, you did the right thing.
Good job. Yes, you thumbs up.
The way I was yelling, you absolutely should have called the police. but I was just talking to someone that couldn't hear me clearly because they kept making the same mistake and should not be allowed to play football anymore.
Yeah, that lady or man, I don't know who's keeping the house.
It was a lady.
That
lady
is a hero. That's a strong move.
Yeah, I just thought it was so interesting because I had no clue. Here's how involved in a game I get. I'm screaming at top volume certain phrases, and then when the cops show up, I go, "What do you mean?"
Yeah, there was no.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's like I black out.
It had to be. That's an intense thing to open the door to. Like when they open the door and you see a like riot squad cop and somebody else in a full suit, you're like, so one of these future farmers is missing, right? This is.
Yeah.
I'm about to be on a podcast in 8 years while they're still trying to find this hayseed boy.
Yeah. I'm about to be on a murder podcast where they say like every other word. Super cool flow. But you see that, right? The last time I opened the door to that at a hotel, they grabbed me by my arms and barrel of monkeyed me to the elevators in my underwear to go sit in the lobby because there was an active shooter on my floor. So that you open and you go, God damn it, the Vikes are on.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, now I know before I go to the door, I know to get fully clothed, put some shoes on, right? Because I've been through this before. So if I get herded down to the lobby, at least I look like I'm a little bit put together.
I think you need to wear less clothes. I'd like to focus on the differences between the Oklahoma City future farmers and the future farmers of Northern California. Are you telling me, just to go back there, is this some sort of tech farmer that we're dealing with here? Do they show up? Is it a different culture? Because I mean, I tell you first,
it's not a tech farmer. I'll just tell you, it's still mullets.
Okay.
As you work your way down the body, it's mullets, but then a tighter jean and tennis shoes. I will say there were some cowboy boots in Oklahoma. It was cowboy. It started a cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes sense, right? I mean, they're one of their colleges. They're the Cowboys. I mean, I understand the difference in the location in the United States, but it was cowboy hat. It was illegal chewing, I'm assuming, because right, you're in high school. You're a future farmer of America. Although I don't know how long people go to high school in Oklahoma. Don't get mad at me for that. I just could be 19. I don't know.
Actually, it's 16 through 24.
And then
get as mad as me you fucking want. Bring it.
And then they all have their future farmers jackets with the patch. And then it was like the future farmer jacket in Oklahoma was always tucked into a belt buckle you could have eaten off of. It was like a serving dish.
Do you think we should become belt buckle guys?
I tried.
No.
I hate to tell you this. Back in my Rob Thomas days, Rob Thomas days, I tried to wear a belt buckle, and I can't. Now, I will tell you, Dave Huntsberger.
Back in your smooth days?
Oh, yeah, big time. You kidding me? Back when Rob Thomas and Santana got together, a light bulb went off in my head, and it was actually a belt buckle-shaped light bulb. And so I tried it. But Dave Huntsberger made me a belt because he does leather work, and then he put an old-school microphone on it, like the... I don't know how to explain it, but it's an old school microphone.
That was an explanation. It's like a metal vert. Like people understand. Like this belt buckle looks like a gun.
Instead of the big crown on a mic with the holes in it, this one had vertical slats. It's like it comes down when you're going to announce something in the ring.
Let's that get ready.
You can't say it. You can't say it. The guy will sue you. Do you know that about him?
I don't know. Michael Buffer?
The guy that did that, that came up with that, he trademarked that phrase in that tone, and he has a team of people that scour the internet to get paid royalties and sometimes sue the people if they won't pay royalties, and he's become rich on that phrase alone.
What a beast. Some people might look at that and have a problem with it. It's a hard world out here, Chad. And if you create a thing that everybody does, get your money, son. Let's get ready to chundle.
Don't you dare. I said, yeah, I don't think you can say that.
Let's get ready to pay out of our pockets and put this podcast at zero overall dollars. Yeah, man. Is Michael Buffer dead? He might be dead.
I don't know that that's true. And if so, someone is still collecting the royalties. So check yourself. Let's get ready to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Listen to me. I just think we should get big into belt buckles. And I don't want, like, I know what you're saying. Like, oh, it's a microphone. And, oh, this is a Rob Thomas belt buckle. I'm talking about big old hayseed shit kicking rodeo winning. Fuck you and your family wearing. I'm the king of this small town belt buckles. Let's get us some fucking, like, King Ranch, Tacoma, Tundra, Diesel, Toby Keith, Hooters wings wearing fucking belt buckles. Let's do it.
No, and I'm going to tell you why you can't. Because as soon as somebody sees us in those, they're going to know we didn't win them. They're going to know we got them.
Challenge me, bro.
From a thrift store.
Fucking challenge me. Well, you think that's a bad situation for us? You think some hick rolling up on
us? If we're in separate locations, I don't think it's a bad situation at all. If I have to defend you because you have to sit down while everyone else fights, yeah, I think that's a horrible situation.
Either way, you're either going to have to defend me while I sit down and everyone fights, or when we agree to take the belt buckles off because we didn't win them, you are going to have to, while I sit down, help me take the belt buckle off.
Yeah, that sounds so fun. Your plan sounds amazing.
I do think you're right, though. I think like rodeo guys are, they have that, you know, there's a little bit of armed forces to them. Like, don't you say Semper Fi, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, you didn't earn that belt buckle. And I take it another way. If you and I are strolling around town, big old hawking belt buckles on our, you know, right near our waistles, and somebody comes up and goes, you didn't win those, take those off. I mean, that's as good as a challenge, right? Fucking bring it. What do you want to, win my belt buckle from me? You think the two of us are going to get talked down by somebody who roped a calf in public? Come on, son. Bring it.
When someone said, you didn't win, on the W of win, my entire belt would be on the ground already. I'm just telling you that right now. I agree that you don't get to say Semper Fi. I agree that you don't get to say or hoorah or any of that shit. I agree you don't get to wear a belt buckle that you didn't earn. But here's the thing. When I come to your place this weekend,
come on,
and I win all the trophies,
come on,
and I carry them around,
come on,
and I win the championship ring, then nobody can tell me to take it off. You feel me?
I do. Nobody. Feel you. We have for champ. We are championship weekend is this coming weekend. You'll be in my home in just a few days.
There yep, will and it will be. And while this is airing, it will have been done.
It will have.
And people right now are thinking, well, how do we find out who won? I'll tell you. I did. Spoiler alert.
We have, so what we've decided is we have several events. We have a Golden Tee Masters, four rounds of Golden Tee that, and we'll get through competitors here in a moment. We have the Golden Tee Masters. We will have the Big Buck Hunt Open, and that will be, we haven't decided is it three different, you know, location. We don't know exactly the parameters of the Golden Tee competition. It hasn't been agreed upon, the Big Buck Hunter. But Golden Tee is solidified. So for Golden Tee, we have a Master's Cabin trophy. For Big Buck Hunter, we have a deer trophy. We have the Gurgamoo World Championships. There is a championship, a custom championship belt ordered for that. There will be a handful of intellectual competitions to be agreed upon. And then whoever accumulates the most points throughout the weekend will leave with the championship ring. Now,
right.
I won't be physically competing in everything. So I am out of the running for the championship ring. Likely, if I walk away with that, I'm the king of the world.
Yeah, that would be impossible. But I will tell you, it's pretty interesting because the ring that you got is a replica Chicago Cubs World Series ring, which will fit around my neck. It's amazingly gigantic, and I can't wait to have it. I'm bringing two outfits, but I'll be wearing both of them on the plane. I'm going to be wearing shorts over my jeans because I have to bring an empty suitcase for all the hardware I'll be bringing home.
We're talking about this like it's a very normal thing, and I think it probably sounds normal to a few people. You don't realize how abnormal this thought process is until you're at an antique mall and somebody's opening a glass case going, what do you want these rings for? And I go, my buddy and I are, because a big buck hunter, and there's championship weekend. You get it. Don't you do that stuff? I've never felt more like a child than buying a replica championship ring and trying to explain championship weekend to a grown-up who manages a store.
Oh, I've never felt more like a grown human being than wearing that thing home on the plane and every time I want another water, tapping it on my armrest. That's all I'm going to do.
The competitors for each event, my nephew Ethan will be competing. The Joel will be competing. My brother Jess will be competing in some events. But you, Ethan, and Joel will compete in every event. So
yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, this isn't for the ring. This is me versus Joel for the right to put our sperm in your wife.
And I'm up to that. Here's the thing. I'll have the needle here ready. The moment one of you clinches the points title, hop on your side on the counter, and I'm plunging into that taint, and I'm sucking out all that good non-autoimmune sperm. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And then you can take the needle home as the real trophy.
Yeah, as soon as I clinch, Jenna's going to need to clench to keep it up in there. A little handstand. Can she do a handstand?
I doubt it. Yeah. I don't want to shit-talk my wife, but I severely doubt her ability to do a handstand.
Well, okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, in related news, my wife told me.
Time out. I have never seen you look off in the distance and try to think of a fake story to stop talking about your wife getting pregnant. That was so fun to watch. And listen, folks, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to describe it. I got one.
It's not even fake. My wife told me this week, just in passing conversation, while I was listening, Sonny Liston, let's get ready.
Don't you dare.
So my wife went to college, and I forget what the guy's name was, but with a human man who had a pet tarantula that he named Baby Love. And
nice.
He would take it out at parties and put it on his shoulder and sing the song Baby Love to it. And why are you with me? You let that guy go? You let Baby Love Tarantula guy go to walk through life and land with me? Come on. That's the funniest person in the world.
Here's what's interesting about you and I. We're such good friends, yet we're so different because as you said that, I was thinking, oh, that's the man responsible for Jenna and Cy being together because he pushed her into thinking you are normal, which is that's pretty brave.
I didn't even get to normal. I was like, you didn't want to marry the funniest person in the world? If I walked into a party in college at a random house, and in the middle of the party with people with drinks hanging out talking, there was just a guy with a tarantula on his shoulder going, baby love, my baby love. I'd, That would be the only story I tell on this show to this day. That is a very, very funny human man. You can't let a gem like that get away.
I see this so differently.
Is that
I
a slippery slope? Yeah, sure.
I see him as sad and needing attention and can't do it himself. I see someone not willing to work on their personality, so they go to the pet store, and the only thing left, because of people that are protesting, the only thing they'll let you sell at this
mall, that's an
mall,
interesting hook in this story.
This mall pet store is a tarantula.
And no, so no. Instead what, of what are getting they protesting? A puppy,
they're protesting like a puppy mill.
Oh, sure. Sure.
You know, so they can't sell puppies. They can't sell kittens. The only thing the guy can buy is a tarantula, and he makes an act that wouldn't get past the opening off-camera round of America's Got Talent.
Well, he's from America. He's got no chance in that show. That's another conversation. The tarantula was born in this country. They're fucking out. Now, if it's a French tarantula, they're probably
Are you talking about a tarantula?
I'm talking about a frantula. This guy has a frantula named Babylon, I don't know who that was. I don't know what sort of voice that was. I don't do French. I can't just.
It sounded like Borat, and I wonder if subconsciously you went to Borat because this whole story started with my wife.
My wife. No, it did. I think I did Borat, but I just made it like Borat with a nose cold. Like, I have a tarantula. Like, that's the direction I went. I mean, you might be right. I think there is our society is plagued by personality-less people who are forcing their pets on you as though it's a personality trait. But
oh,
I don't
freshman year of college. Yeah. I showed up at football games with a Dalmatian puppy, dude, because I was sick. I was sick and tired of girls not talking to me.
I know we've talked about this, but I don't remember. What was the Dalmatian's name?
Snaps.
That's right. That's a nice, Snaps. Fun callback. But I don't know. I think it can be both, right? When you see somebody like walking the streets with a parrot on their shoulder, you're like, that guy's probably a bummer. And also, objectively, a man walking down the street with a parrot on his shoulder is very funny.
Yeah, it could be a guy in the witness relocation program because he's looted thousands of ships.
Sure.
As you know, whatever color beard he has. But I will tell you
Do you think you would get killed in the witness protection program? Like, do you think you could, like right now, if you and I, so we have our belt buckles on, right?
Right.
And we are at a grocery store. Probably the Travis Tritt Ralphs while you're, Kroger. How am I doing that still this episode? So we're at the Travis Tritt Kroger. We're in our championship belt buckles.
Yep.
And we are in an aisle and somebody goes, you shouldn't be wearing that. And we turn around like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then we realize that person isn't talking to us. You know, they're talking to somebody behind us, and it's some sort of organized crime, gang, terror. Like, we have found ourselves in the middle of a situation here, right? So you take my belt off slowly, and we back away like Homer Simpson, edging into
the shrubs, yeah.
But we see an actual murder in this grocery aisle. And no, there's no one else in the other aisles. The other guy runs. The cameras don't catch it. Like, it's pretty obvious he murdered him, but there's no real proof absent. Like, they need us. We are okay. Key witnesses because we're going to bring down this guy, which is going to bring down the whole crime family. And we're going to have to go into witness protection. Right now, okay. We're going. Which one of us gets found and killed first? Now, this is assuming
you.
We go different directions. You think
you.
So? Why do you think so?
Well, you're going to need your meds. You're going to have to go to PT. They're going to need all your medical records. I'm just going to be sitting at home learning the lyrics to Baby Love with my new fucking spider. I'm not even going to have to leave. It's going to be great.
You... Maybe, but you're more, don't you think, well, I was going to say you're more apt to get noticed in public, like in an altercation.
Yeah.
But you're probably right, but I think you don't think they can create like me as a new patient somewhere else? Like, hey, it's not like people don't have autoimmune diseases in Phoenix. I think I'd be fine.
Yeah, I suppose the government would help you with that. I don't know how the witness relocation program works. Wink, wink.
Only way I'm doing it is if we can go under as a married couple, right? You put us in.
Yeah, that won't make anybody look at us. We have the number 10 walking around with the one wilted halfway over, and the zero has to be helping him along.
We would definitely be the talk of town. Like, hey, do you know the new gay couple that moved in down the street? I don't think they're very happy. They're like, what makes you say that? Well, I'm pretty sure both of them tried to fuck my sister. Like, we would get found out very quickly.
They're like, when the chubby one's on the skinny one, it doesn't seem like they're making love. It seems like prison rape. And he keeps yelling, you're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're here. Take it.
And then we leave a dinner party and they're like, I can't believe I ever questioned they were married. Those two are 15 years deep into a marriage the way they bicker with one another.
Yeah, these two are 400 podcast episodes into their relationship. That's how people measure it now.
So yeah, I do think I would struggle in witness protection. I would do far better in witness protection than prison. But I don't know. I mean, the idea of, I actually think if we're having a real conversation, I think you die. I think they find you first. I think you're the one that cracks in terms of going back to see his friends and family first. I think you will make contact with your...
What?
You will make contact with your son or daughter. Now, it's crazy because of how I feel with my hillbilly clan, but I think you make contact with your son or daughter before I make contact with my family or my wife.
Yeah, well, they'd come with us. There'd be our children. And then they would have to live their lives down there too. I mean, I wouldn't have to contact them. This would be part of the deal, of course.
So we're bringing the kids. Children. Okay. Well, then I would like to bring Ethan. So we have three kids.
Okay, great.
Man, that gay couple has amazing children. That's all I care about. That's what the whole rest of my life would be dedicated to. How did those guys raise such unbelievable children? Handsome, funny, good jobs. Oh, they did it. They really did it.
You know, I was just thinking, how would I play the other side of it, right? If I was a crime family,
we gotta kill
looking
somebody
for the snitch.
Let's go fucking get him.
How would I do it?
Let's go get these two belt buckle bitch snitches.
Yeah, I would employ a bunch of people around the country to work for Uber Eats. Because obviously people don't want to leave their homes. And sure. So they just order food all the time, and then you just carry a picture with you, a portfolio of pictures, and you go up to the door and you go, hey, thank you, and then you take a picture of the person, and you go back in your car and you put it in the database, and you see, is this someone I need to go back into the house and murder?
Would you rather, here's a question for you, if you had to choose between these two scenarios, because I was watching a show where a guy was responsible essentially for someone's death. Like, he didn't kill it. He didn't kill the person, but his actions led to that person's death, essentially. Have you seen Succession?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the end of, I think, season one of Succession. Spoiler alert, if you care about this, you know, skip ahead 30 seconds. Where Kendall, they're going to get drugs, and the car goes into the river, and this kid dies, and the family covers it up. But for the rest of his life, Kendall has to live with the knowledge that he is responsible for someone dying, right?
Right.
What would you have a harder time with mentally? Knowing that your actions and behavior and situation caused someone's death, like having that on your conscience, or worrying in witness protection that someone's going to find you and kill you? Which one of those are harder for you?
The first one.
First one for sure, right? That would be, yeah. I think that's pretty high on my power ranking lists of things I don't think I would deal well with.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I think I'd have to, you know, it's like, you know, you're going to have to face some consequences, clearly, but who knows what those consequences will lead to. You know what I'm saying? That's not a death penalty case. So you're going to stay alive. You're probably going to have to go to prison. You don't know if you're going to stay alive in there, but who knows? I mean, maybe something good would come out of it, but sitting around and worrying that someone is going to find out that you killed someone, because that's this whole thing about lying. It's like, I would rather you know the truth right now and you get mad at me for telling you the truth versus you finding out I was lying a month later, mm-hmm. because that brings with it a whole bunch of other emotions, a whole bunch of other charges, like trust comes into play. Because if I tell you the truth and you don't like it, trust is not broken, right? But if I lie to you and you find out a month later, trust is broken. And that's a tough one. So I would tell the people that I had something to do with the death, try to explain it. And that would be that. But sitting around witness protection, I would have the fucking Kevin McAllister Home Alone times 10 version of a house where if someone opens the door, a shotgun goes off unless they know the code. I mean, I think I would love setting that house up.
You get into witness protection program. You get a new wife, a new family. You build this whole life, but you're 20 years into it, and still every night when you kiss your kids goodnight, you're like goodbye. Every night when you shut your eyes, like it was a good run. Sorry, I got you all brutally murdered when they finally show up. You have to. What kind of
creepy kids did the government give me that I'm still kissing them goodnight when they're 20?
Hey, I'm not here to judge you, okay?
Hey, Dad, you forgot to kiss me. It's disgusting.
I wonder what percentage, and I'm certainly not going to learn the answer to this, but I wonder what percentage of people, you know, get caught in the witness protection. Like, not caught. Caught isn't the right word. But because if you have the resources, I mean, you're going to basically follow every person that person loved the most and just wait, right? You just sit.
Of course.
And wait. I'm putting a tap on Olivia, Isaac, your mom, your significant other that Bert outed on his podcast, and
her name's Kelsey. Yeah.
And okay. And I mean, I'm tapping those people, and I'm just waiting. And honestly, I think you're dead in 2 years.
Well, you're putting a tap on these people, why don't you kill them? That's a big question. Because wouldn't you kill a child to flush somebody out?
Well, I mean, I think, aren't you smart enough to go, maybe, because if you have two kids, like I killed one, either come out and let me shoot you or I'm taking the other one down. But
woof. I hate this so much.
Yeah, you started it.
Scenarios.
You started this
one. I know
I
did.
This one isn't my fault. I don't like this scenario either.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you how. Listen, I would be killed. I would not make it a week in the witness protection program. Okay. If you and I went in together, you'd get killed first day. I'd get killed third or fourth. Yeah, just to win the contest, just to win the bet. But I'd because listen, I do things like, remember when I told you I left my phone in an Uber going from the hotel to Acme, which is 3 blocks from the hotel? I did it again in Sacramento.
That a boy.
I get home from the Sunday night show with Bill Squire, friend of the podcast.
Yes, sir.
He's working. So funny, by the way. God, his set is tight. And I go upstairs. I'm going to check the score to make sure it's right of the Bengals game because I had money on it. And I thought, there's no way nobody scored in 11 minutes and 50 seconds. That's crazy. But they sure didn't. And I go to get my phone. There's no phone in my pocket. So I search the room. No phone anywhere. I go back down to the front desk. I ask because I got an ice cream bar when I got back as a treat for having a great week.
That a boy. You got, that's good. You need to do that.
Yeah. Yep. And I had to reach way into the back of the freezer to get it because I had eaten all the rest of them during the week. But that's not important. The important thing is I get there. I can't find my phone. So I go, hey, I think I lost my phone. Do you guys have a shuttle? And they go, well, we only have the shuttle for the Southwest flight crews. And I go, is there any, do you have like a car service or anything? And they go, yep, we have a taxi service we work with. I go, okay, can you set that up for 4:30 a.m.? Because my flight's at 6. And I go to the elevator and I go, well, fuck. And I go back to the front desk. I go, can I also get a wake-up call like it's 1973 to my room because I don't have a phone? You don't realize how much your phone does for you until you don't have your phone. So I'm thinking, I have to get to the airport a little early. I have to print out paper tickets, mm-hmm. right? That's killing the planet.
Sure.
I have to, it's just going to be a long time. So I contact Bill on my hotel phone, mm-hmm. like a psychopath, mm-hmm. because if you've heard my hour in this last tour, you know what I think about hotel phones. And I call Bill and he answers. And I go, hey man, can you get a hold of Kelsey and my two kids and just let them know I don't have a phone for the day? And I will, because here's another thing. I'm going so crazy between Fergus Falls, the cabin, Minneapolis, and the road that I forgot my computer bag in Fergus. So I traveled with sure. the only piece of electronics I had on my person was my phone.
Mm-mm.
So I can't use an iPad. I can't use a computer to find it. Nothing. So I called Bill. I'm like, hey, man, can you contact them? And he goes, yep. And then calls me back and he goes, hey, there's a form on Uber that maybe you can find your phone if you fill it out. I go, all right, let's do it. So he comes down. I'm filling it out. He's going back and forth with the, whatever customer service rep via messaging. And then I go, hey, why don't I call my phone? This is the first time either of us have had this thought.
Oof.
I know. But it must have been serendipitous because we call the phone. The passenger in the back seat sees it because it's on vibrate. He hands it to the guy driving. And the guy driving goes, hey, what's up? And I go, this is my phone. He goes, well, I'm glad you called now. I never would have found it. It's on vibrate. I wouldn't have heard it, blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking, well, this is good. This is looking up. And I go, do you think you could bring... He goes, can you come get your phone? And I go, well, I don't have a car. And he goes, can you get another Uber? And I was like, hey, man, you have my phone. I don't have access to anything. And he goes, well, I'm nowhere near you. And I go, well, could you bring it when you're done driving? And he goes, how much is it worth to you? And I said, I don't know, $100. And he goes, okay, that's just fine. So he's going to bring it back. He goes, call me in a half hour. So Bill goes back to his room.
Really fucking
I go back to my room.
Leveraged you, didn't he?
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. Well, let me tell you this part first. So we go back down to the lobby. We're calling him 5 phone calls and no one has picked up. And I thought to myself, aha, one of his passengers told him this phone is worth more than $100. Because it is, right? And the pain and bullshit I'm going to have to go through for me is worth way more than $100.
Oh, sure.
So we're sitting there. We're trying to call. All of a sudden, this gal comes down and she has, I'm like looking at my feet, wondering what I'm going to do, trying to make a plan. And I hear Bill say to the girl, he goes, hey, is that Tom Segura on your shirt? And she goes, yeah, it's the Coming Everywhere tour. And then he goes, hey, do you know? And I see him start to look at me. I go, don't do it. Right?
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, I didn't want to say anything. I know who you are. You were so funny on Your Mom's House. I became a fan the last time you were on Your Mom's House, but I didn't want to bother you. And I was like, oh, it's no bother at all. I'm just trying to find my phone. I'm such an idiot. I left it on the thing. And then she goes, listen, I'm trying not to fangirl out, but can I get a picture? And now I'm like looking for my phone and this is happening. And I go, yeah, of course. Right. I'm just disheveled. And she was so nice because she kept going, I'm trying not to fangirl out. I'm going to leave you guys alone now. And then she ended up taking off. So shout out to Katie for not wanting to get murdered by my no phone rage. So we finally get a hold of him and he goes, yeah, sorry. I'm concentrating on the map because I'm on my way back to you. And I was like, holy shit, man, this is incredible. So he goes, I'll be there in 10 minutes. So 10 minutes goes by, 15 minutes goes by, and I go, shit, maybe now someone told him that it's worth more than $100. Mm-hmm. So he says, he gets there 17 minutes after the call. So cool. Holds my phone up. I give him the money. He counts it, right? Then gives me my phone.
That's a little much. That's a little much.
I don't know. Now, dude, I don't know. Who knows?
He's a contracted with Uber. Their rules are if somebody leaves shit in your car, give it fucking back to them. He didn't steal your son.
Their actual rules are it's $50 to get your phone back.
Okay, so then.
So I actually gave him extra money because I felt I really was trying to think in my head what is fair about this, and I don't think he leveraged it well enough, so I did it for him because I was thinking I'm going to have to go to the Mall of America, which is going to be busy as shit. I'm going to have to get a phone. I'm going to have to upload all the stuff from the cloud. I'm going to have to do all this stuff. I was not looking forward to that. And so him bringing it back when he was across town, which, listen, it's not, he's not across Fergus Falls. He's across Sacramento. And sure. It's been raining for 3 weeks out there. So some of the roads are flooded. I mean, I thought this guy was a grand champion. So yeah. Shout out to him. And anyways, I will. That's why I would get caught immediately. So I'd be like, hey, man, can you bring me back my phone? And then the car pulls up and I go to give him the money and the window lowers and it's just toof, toof, two right in my gut. Doesn't kill me because I'm wearing a belt buckle, but they don't know that. So now I have to go to a completely different witness or relocation program.
I understand what you're saying about he was a champion. But I mean, there's an argument to be made that like, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
If you're going with people helping people, I understand that. But you have to wonder...
Not completely, because I think it's fair for him. The only problem I have with the whole story is him holding your hand and counting the money before he gives you the phone.
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, maybe he's been burned before. So I'm not going to judge him for doing that. What the only thing is, I think to myself...
I'm judging. I just don't like it.
This guy... But he didn't really know me. The only thing he knows about me is that I'm an idiot that leaves my phone places.
Sure.
That's all he knows. And I'm 5 stars on Uber, no big deal.
Here's the thing. We start Ubering. Go with me. And this is not an Uber, this is a con. Because I think this is all leading towards you and me being in the witness protection program as fake gay husbands, and we get bored, and we need something to do, and we start being con men. So I think... We take a place like downtown Minneapolis, party zone, right?
Okay.
Okay. One of us, the more charming of us.
Me.
Goes into a nightclub and really fucking friends up. I want you to turn on that Steve Daniels, you know, I want you to like.
Party in a minivan?
Party vibe? In a minivan. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
I got
this guy, this is a hurricane of fun right here. You know, Everybody's like, who is this guy? You're our new leader, right?
Yeah,
and then you make sure everybody's good and drunk, like really good and drunk. And you go, hey, guys, let's go over to this bar, right? I know someone over there. I don't know why I'm doing you drunk. I know someone. You know someone.
Yeah, you're not even close.
You know someone. Borat drunk?
I don't even slur. I don't even slur when I'm drunk because I'm a grown-up and I'm worried I'm going to get in trouble.
Nasally drunk, Borat. And so you go, you're like, let's go to this bar. And so everybody, you're like, I'll call an Uber. And then you text me. You're like, saddle up, buddy. And I pull up. You guys load into the back of the car, right? Mm-hmm. And you're having the time of our lives. We're joking. I take extra long to get to the next bar. You're like, sure, hey, let me see your phone. And like, drunk enough people that you try to make them lose their phones in the Uber, which I don't think is horrendously difficult.
Sure.
And then, blammo, $100, $150 a pop. I mean, we could live a pretty good life if we lived in a small shit town adjacent to a big city and we, you know, hillbillied our way in to run our grift to the tune of, you know, 6 phones a weekend. I mean, that's, I mean, that's hamburger helper meth money right there. Like, we can live a good small town life.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal. And I think the way we would do it is we would just say, do you know how many phones I have to bring back? It's going to cost you $200.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'll just keep your phone. Like, I'm going to report you. Like, listen, go ahead. They know the deal. They know how many phones I've returned, and they're even sick of it.
Yeah, yeah. Try me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it too. And I love that we don't count the money. We hand all the money to a tarantula on our shoulder. And as he's counting, we just go, my baby la, my baby la.
See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you can turn or return to 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. When I grab people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing. See, we're always happy, last we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah, we're happy, happy, da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da. Summertime, and we'll sing again. We go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends, and we'll all go into town. See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you can turn or return to 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. When I grab people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing. See, we're always happy, last we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah, we're happy, happy, da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m., so click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.